Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Today we are talking about vision, if you didn't guess it already, all right? So can everyone say vision? All right. This whole month, we are doing our series and our theme on reset. And I don't know about you, but I'm already off to a month that feels like I'm resetting stuff. This past week, however you word that properly, Brian and I spent some extra time on the property, and as you notice, there's a new youth hangout room now. There's a sensory-friendly worship space for kids to take a break in, and guess what the best part of all that was? It may have taken us like 7 hours moving furniture, and I built some more core strength, but we didn't buy anything. We just repurposed. How many know sometimes when you're resetting things and God's resetting things in your life, he just actually is changing the lighting. He's like, hey, this gifting has been here all along. It's just now time to use it in a new way, right? So I want to encourage you. As I said last week, sometimes reset sounds really stressful. It sounds like another agenda list, another item to check off. But really, God is just repositioning and highlighting some different areas in our lives, and he is doing the resetting. Amen? So I look forward to hearing some resetting testimonies. I heard a couple testimonies this morning already of God just providing in amazing ways in our community as well. But last week, we talked about resetting the clock, right? We talked about how the game isn't over, that God can lift you up out of the pit. And we really dug into the life of Joseph. And I really encourage you, if you haven't done the Bible studies yet, we do a weekly Bible study that is loosely based off of the message series. It's not one we wrote, but it's one some of us spent a very long time finding on YouVersion. And then we print it out, and it's always available at the hub, or it's on the QR code right there in front of you. And it's just an opportunity to dig a little deeper into the Word of God. How many know if an hour message was enough, we would all be able to remember what I preached last week? But I'm going to admit to you, sometimes I don't remember what I preached last week, right? So we have to get in. There's a daily reset. His mercies are new, not every Sunday, but every morning, right? And so there's this invitation, this month especially, reset how you spend time with God. And a great way to start is in that Bible study. So that is on your own time, on your phone or on the paper, and a great thing to do. So today's definition, I just want to define reset before we get into today's topic. Reset means to set again or differently, to set back the odometer. Remember last week I was like, we all want an odometer reset in our lives, at least I do, right? To restore, to move something back into an original position or place. And our key verse is Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. And last week we talked about that pit from Joseph, right? That's the same word, and it means prison. Out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Out of the mud and the mire. Today we're talking about mud and mire. And I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but did anybody get the newsletter this week? If you didn't, check your spam folder, and if you didn't at all, let me know, okay? Or text the church line. But we're trying to send out a monthly newsletter that has the calendar, and one of the items was a mud and mire item. We are working on our beaver dams this month, all right? So if you are a gentleman or a woman that has some muscle, we are actually trying to not be stuck in the mud and mire on our property, okay? So that's just a little side note, not what I'm preaching, but we literally have a mud and mire situation, and we need deliverance. All right, so mud means clay or dirt, and apparently it was a common material for baskets, pots, and bowls back then. It means sticky, right? It's stickiness. And then figuratively, it means calamity. And then mire is a stretch of swampy or boggy ground. So if you're looking for deliverance out of mud and mire, you have come to the right church this morning, all right? Just give it a month. All right, no, I'm joking. But some areas in our life, we need resets like the pit, right? That was last week. A pit is really obvious. How many know when you fall in a pit, you are not getting up on your own, right? I saw this video yesterday. I have no idea how this guy got in here, but he got stuck in a bear's cave. He was stuck in a pit, and there was a bear. This was like a, it was a poor guy was on his cell phone. This bear was trying to get into the pit, or like the cave, and this guy, he made it out alive. I don't know how, but he was stuck in a pit, and a bear was at the opening, right? That's pretty obvious. You know when you are stuck in a pit. And that word pit obviously means prison as well, like we talked about last week. But some areas are less obvious because they're sticky. Anybody have a sticky area in your life? An area that keeps bogging you down? It's so common that it's your normal, right? It's not obvious like a pit. Maybe it seems normal in your life. And you're like, I don't need to reset that because that's always been that way. Or the last time I tried to reset that area, it was so sticky, I just kept getting stuck back in my old pattern. Does that make sense? And so I think oftentimes, you know, we can be really dramatic in church, talk about the big things, but if we keep getting stuck on the common areas of our life, then we can't reset our life. God is trying to reset our whole life, right? So I hope that makes sense to you, but it really stuck out to me because it's a lot easier to preach drama than to preach common, right? And God's after the common as well. Thrive's vision this year, as we all know, is to see thriving homes transform cities. And our city is transformed to the level our vision is on Jesus, right? You know, I wanted to make a prayer garden right over there, and I talked about it a lot a couple years ago, and we even started making a couple things that would go in there, and then we realized that it was stuck in the mud and the mire. And my dream is no longer a dream, right? I was like, the only prayer garden that's happening is like in the road if we're not going to get stuck in the mud and mire, right? But some of us have been like, man, I want to make a prayer space in my home, or I want to pray in my marriage more, or I wish I could just pray at my workplace for 5 seconds. But the mud and the mire, the common areas, the normal that's sticky and just keeps sticking you back in old patterns and habits and mindsets is there, and you can't quite make your prayer garden. Does that make sense? And so in Jesus' name, we will have a prayer garden out there one day, but first a mud and mire deliverance, right? But it's really practical, and God cares about the mud and the mire places in your lives. The other thing about mud and mire is it's pretty messy. Right? Pastor Brian actually went out there, and Tim, I don't think he's here, but we just want to honor Tim Woods, who also has a ton of experience in mud and mire situations. And Brian, on Memorial Day, I think it was, he went out there on his day off, and he walked through all the mud and mire. And apparently, he had a couple come-to-Jesus moments with his, what are those called? The waders. It was a little deep, and he's pretty tall. And so he got really muddy. He was sending me videos from the mud and mire. And so often those times that we feel stuck in those sticky situations, in those sticky relational situations, in those areas that just feel like normal, but we know there's something beyond that, get really messy. Right? And unfortunately, sometimes it's a visible mess to others as well. And so God wants to reset those areas. I just want to speak hope into your life, a healing and a wholeness. And sometimes it looks more like a process, but God's not afraid to get into the mud and mire like he did on earth and then lift you up. Amen? So today we're going to talk about resetting vision. Vision means the ability to think about or plan the future with imagination and wisdom. How many know that there is a war on imagination? If you've talked to Pastor Tom at all and heard his messages from years ago, he would do messages on the war on our imagination. I still remember it. I would like sit there and he'd talk about it with a slide. It was really cool. So you can ask him for the 2.0 version of this. But the bottom line is, according to NASA, adults are 96% less creative than kids. 96. I want to believe that the church can be not a 96%, all right? So that's part of our vision, to be creative here. And I know we're just touching, like, maybe we're 95%, right? But maybe we can get down to 94 this year. But neuroscientists, this was so cool. This was a Harvard study that I found, have found that creativity, and I'm using creativity, imagination, vision, just go with me on that, draws on your entire brain, so both sides of the brain. And they said meditation can give you access to that, getting moving, and being around different kinds of people, and then engaging with nature. How many know church is almost all of those in one spot? Isn't that cool? I just thought that was amazing. Church is one of the most, well, I pray that it's one of the most diverse places. I loved one of our former pastors used to say, I hope it's the United Nations. Right? It's like you walk in and just the nations, whatever that means. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're all from different countries, but we all have different backgrounds and different stories and different testimonies. So we're around different kinds of people. And then I love that meditation can give you access to it because we know God says to be still and know that I am God. Who would have thought that a neuroscientist would be like, well, actually, if you are still and you are meditating on God, that your creativity might go down to 94%. You might catch some new imagination, some new vision for your life. Isn't that amazing? So I just thought that was cool because the word of God is practical, not just supernatural. In Luke, the first thing written down that Jesus said after, one of the first things that Jesus said after his baptism and testing in the wilderness was to tell people he would restore vision. So he's quoting Isaiah here, and he's saying that he is fulfilling the words that have been spoken. It says in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. That word blind means to be physically blind or mentally blind. And I was looking up some history on blindness, and in Jesus's time, to be blind was not just like an inconvenience or there weren't necessarily services to assist you. It actually meant that you would be an outcast, most likely. And not just an outcast, but you would most likely be kicked out of the town. So to lose your vision during the time of Jesus meant to be totally ostracized by society. Now there are, you know, depending on the level of vision that you are lacking, maybe you can get contacts, glasses, surgery. Obviously, sometimes it is total blindness or there isn't another option. But at that time, there was no option. To be set free from being blind, to be healed from being blind, meant to be healed from being an outcast. Isn't that amazing? Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained or the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. That's Proverbs 29:18. That word vision means to behold and to see. Have you ever heard the phrase, we become what we behold, right? That's like a slogan going around. Unrestrained, though, that word unrestrained or perish means to go back. That's like the wrong kind of reset. So where there is no vision, the people go back. Have you ever lacked vision and you realized without even knowing it that you had gone back to the last vision that you had had for your life? The last vision of what a relationship looked like. The last vision of what managing your resources or the last vision of your schedule. If we aren't intentional, we tend to be unrestrained. We tend to go back, right? And that word law, of course, means God's direction or the Torah. In Luke 10, I know I'm kind of bouncing around here in the Bible, but we're going to land here in a story in just one second. But in Luke 10, verse 18 through 20, it says, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority over all the power of the enemy. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I saw Satan and behold, I saw Satan fall, right? And behold, I give you authority. So our vision matters. When we have vision on Jesus, when we turn our eyes to Jesus, there is an authority that we actually can walk in on earth. And I'll never forget, this was one of the most embarrassing worship moments. We did this song, I saw Satan fall like lightning, right? I don't even remember the song. It's Testimony, right? It was like the first time we did it, and I was cueing the song, and I just said, it was like the beginning, the entire church service here. Maybe you were here. And I said, come on, everybody stand on your feet. I saw Satan. I was like, fall. He fell. He is down under our feet. Let's just start the song. It was the worst. Needless to say, I don't lead that song anymore. That was a traumatizing experience. But the whole point is, some of us never finish the phrase, right? If your vision stops at I saw Satan, then you're going to have a little bit of a different vision for your life. It might look like fear right? Afraid of this, afraid of that. Did you know the end times started in the Bible, right? If you look at that, right? I'm just saying, I'm not demeaning anything or anything like that, but if we end the phrase there, our vision for our life looks very different than if we end the phrase, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Amen? When we find ourselves striving to make an impact and walk in our identity in Christ, it is often because somewhere we forgot Satan fell like lightning. Amen? The victory of Jesus is the single defining vision marker for our life. And when that vision marker gets skewed, our vision for our life turns into victim and fear-driven motives. And it can happen like that. And that's why his mercy is new every morning. Amen? There's a reset in vision every morning. If we lose sight of Jesus, we lose strength for today and we lose vision for eternity. I got this picture of glasses. I don't wear glasses. I always wanted glasses. Anybody ever like just weird and like wanted glasses your whole life? I don't understand it, but I did. I don't anymore. I'm okay that I don't have them. But when I was a kid, I wanted glasses. I got my eyes tested multiple times, right? And I guess I needed them. I needed them so little, but I was so proud of them. I wore them way beyond what I needed. And then I went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, actually, you don't need them anymore. I don't know, like, I'll have to ask an eye doctor. I don't know if, like, I got healed or whether that's, like, part of growing up. But anyway, if you have poor vision and you go and you get glasses that work, let's just say, you go to a good eye doctor, and you can see clearly, would you still say, oh, I can't read that book because I couldn't read it before? Would you say that? If you couldn't drive at night and you got glasses that helped you drive at night, would you say, no, I can't drive at night, I couldn't before? That'd be ridiculous. You have glasses. That's the whole point of getting glasses, right? And I lived with a roommate once, and she had glasses. I don't know what her prescription was, but it was so strong that when I put them on, I almost passed out, right? But that's the power of glasses these days. It's incredible. It's such a gift, right, to see. And the point is, once you get them, you can see what you couldn't see before. You can go to work at 5 p.m. or 7 p.m. in the dark. You can't tell your boss you can't see because you have glasses. That would be a really weird excuse, right? But somehow, through the cross and resurrection of Jesus, we have access to reset our vision on Jesus, and yet we say, well, I can't reset my vision on Jesus. I couldn't before. My relationship can't reflect Jesus. It couldn't before. And we leave our glasses on the shelf. Does that make sense? It's not a question of do you have access to the vision of God for your life. It's a question of what are you doing with it? Because you can do things you couldn't before because Christ is in you. You have access, right? And so often we act like we don't have access. Like we come to church or we worship at our homes to get into the presence of God when the presence of God has never left us. I'm not saying worship doesn't make us more aware and his glory doesn't come down, but we have access. Amen? So what are you doing with Holy Spirit in your daily life? Are you leaving your glasses at home, or are you putting on your new self in Christ? It says in Colossians 3:10 to put on your new nature and be renewed, which you could say is like be reset as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. I love that word put on, because how many know like that sounds a little bit like striving? It's like, I gotta put it on, right? But that word put on means to clothe, to sink into a garment, to sink, not to like, you know, pull and push and whatever, but to sink into a garment. I love that word, to sink. It's like to just let go, right? That's what it means, to sink into your new nature, to just surrender into your new nature. Isn't that powerful? So let's unpack this just a little bit more. We're going to get into the apostles here and the disciples of Jesus. Without the apostles, the disciples allowing Jesus to reset their vision, you and I probably would not be sitting here. And I want to say something, but if your choice to let God reset your vision today impacts generations that you don't see either. It matters. God's vision matters. How many have ever seen someone, and it looks like, we never know, right? Because you can perform and be fake, but I hope we aren't here. But some of us, you know, will see someone and they look like they're walking out a really intentional vision. And it's like, man, that's such a luxury, right? Somehow walking in intentional vision feels like a luxury in today's culture. It's like, well, I wasn't born into the right family to get to have a vision for my life. I just had to like plug and play to survive. But vision isn't a luxury. Vision is our inheritance and our identity in Christ. It's not dependent on an economic status, a relationship status, a health status. It's not dependent on anything on earth. Vision is determined by what he did on that cross, his resurrection, and our eternal inheritance in Christ. Amen? You following? It's so important because it can be just like, well, I wasn't given the right circumstances to get a vision. And we discount ourselves from the very thing that Jesus died to give every single one of us. Amen? So I want to look at a couple of the apostles here and the first followers of Jesus. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John were very rough fishermen, right? Matthew was a collaborator with the enemy. He was a tax collector. Simon the Zealot. Zealots were an aggressive, I had to look this up. They were an aggressive political party who were against even the Jews that sought peace with the Romans, and at extreme were terrorists and assassinated. Assassinations, that's pretty strong. Thomas was known for more of his facts, like fact-driven thinking, right? Although he went on to be an incredible, incredible missionary, so never discount Thomas. And then Saul, of course, was a religious terrorist, flat out, right? I love this because when you really look at the dream team of God, it was made up of opposing lifestyles, economic normals, government views, values, cultures, and that is who Jesus chose to put together. I don't know about you, but every church leadership training I have been through, that is not what they said to do, right? That's about the opposite. I love this because Jesus was kind of like, man, if these guys don't reset their vision, the whole team's going to blow up. There was no plan B with Jesus, right? His plan A through Z is Jesus is the only answer. And some people are like, well, what do you think about, you know, this area of the world and what's going on there? And my answer is, we need Jesus, and that is not a get-out-of-free card. I'm not pulling a God card. I've been to places on earth right now that are at war, and I'm not belittling anything, but man, we need Jesus, right? But that's who God chose to put together. The disciples, they had to reset their thoughts, their habits, their responses, their vision, right? Major resets, and it wasn't like a one-and-done. Have you ever just wanted a one-and-done? If you're married, have you ever gone to like a marriage conference or a marriage counseling session? You're like, well, I just need one and done, right? We have 1 hour to solve all the world's problems for the next 80 years that I'll ever have with my spouse. How many know that is not how it works? Man, if it was, it'd be like, give me the magic pill, right? No, it's his mercy is new every morning. We better use that mercy because it's not going to be there tomorrow. There's new mercy. Don't waste mercy. There's mercy on earth right now that can't be used tomorrow, right? Don't let it stay on the shelf, right? They needed to reset their vision every day. And you look at how Jesus would correct them and guide them in love and kindness. I love the song that Jason did today with Let Me See Jesus. How many have just stopped and said in your daily life, hold on. I'm going to turn my eyes to Jesus. God, let me just see you for just a second here, right? So we're going to focus in on the life of Paul here just as we begin to wrap up. And I want to give you three very quick keys to renewing and resetting vision for the fall. So we're calling this the journey, the blinding, and the friends, all right? So number one, the journey. So Saul was a religious terrorist who was killing believers on his way to Damascus, right? I think we all know this story pretty well. If you don't, I highly recommend you look at it. It's in Acts chapter 9. For time's sake, I'm not going to read the entire story, but I am going to read some of it. As Saul neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, and he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless, and they heard the sound but did not see anyone. Sometimes when you see Jesus, others around you won't, and it doesn't mean he's not there, right? So that word Damascus, man, I spent a really long time studying what that word meant, and there's some different variations on the meaning. So I'm going to give you a couple variations here, and it has to do with the language and how old the word is. But one definition was sackcloth weaver. That's really hard to say. Sackcloth weaver. And sackcloths were used to show humility before God, right? They put the sackcloths on, and then they would grieve, or they would mourn, and they would be humble before God. The other definition of Damascus was the beginning of salvation. Interesting, the beginning of salvation. So regardless of what it is, there were a couple other definitions. It represents a place of humility and restoration with God. And that's, Saul was on a journey to Damascus. Isn't that cool? So the first key to walking in God's vision for your life this fall is letting Jesus stop you where you're going in the wrong direction. Let me just say that again. Because remember last week when I said you can have core strength, and if you aren't letting God reset you in your core strength, you're just being stubborn, right? That's not from Jesus, right? So letting Jesus stop you where you are going in the opposite direction, that requires humility. That requires humility and teachability from Jesus, right? When you're going in the opposite direction of his wholeness, his healing, his restoration, it takes humility to admit that you need him, right? And then the second part of the journey and encountering Jesus with fresh vision is asking God who he is in your moment of interruption. Have you ever thought you had a plan and then it got interrupted and you need to stop and say, wait a minute, God, who are you right now? Maybe he's Jehovah Jireh. Maybe he's God the healer. Maybe he's a comforter. Maybe he's the Prince of Peace. But don't miss who God is in the interruption. Does that make sense? It's so easy to get interrupted, and the first thing we go to is annoyance and what did I do wrong, when maybe it's actually Jesus intentionally bringing a little interruption to say, hey, I want to encounter you and give you fresh vision for this area of your life. You following? Somewhere we're all stuck in some sticky mud and mire in our lives on the journey, right? And Jesus this morning is standing right in the middle of your road. All our roads are different this morning, but I really want to invite you to encounter him. Maybe it's in your resources, your attitude, your relationships, your workplace, but it's not a question of if Jesus is there. Jesus is right there in the middle of the journey with you. It's a question of, are you going to let him stop you in the midst of your journey? Are you going to be like, no, I don't have time for that? Are you going to let him show himself to you, right? Old vision produces apathy, passivity, discouragement, shame, a high that dies, right? New vision, God's vision, looks like the fruit of the Spirit. It looks like eternal impact. It looks like abundant life. I didn't say perfect life. I just said abundant life, right? Which we know isn't just a physical status. It's really a spiritual inheritance. So my question is, where is God pausing you in your journey right now? Where do you feel an interruption from God? Just to make note of that. The second thing is the blinding. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. How many have ever lost vision for something and felt like giving up completely? Right? I have totally lost vision in my life. And it's like, well, if I lost vision, it's time to give up, right? Especially, what is the personality type? Melancholy, whatever that one is. If you've got that going on, it's like, I lost vision and the world is over, right? And what if instead the blinding is actually a time that God is inviting you to reset your vision? Isn't that amazing that Saul sat for 3 days blind? Waiting for vision. Who would have the patience for that? That's some high patience, right? He sat there and he trusted God that God would restore his vision. And some of us have felt like we've been blinded by circumstances this morning and we're losing faith and we feel like giving up. And God is saying to you today, it's not a time to give up. It's a time to give up to me because I am resetting your vision during this time. Even Jesus had a 3-day wait for resurrection, right? Even Jesus. So hold on. Don't give up. Give up to him. Is that, you follow me? Luke 18 says, the story of the blind man coming to Jesus. Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? And he replied, Lord, I want to see. Some of us feel blinded by circumstances, and God is saying right now to you, what do you want from me? And he's just waiting for you to say, God, I just want to see. God, give me the fresh vision. I'm letting go of the old vision. I want your fresh vision for me. Saul or Paul sat in prison, and I'd imagine it was pretty dark. I've actually seen the prison because I've been to Greece on a mission trip. I've seen the prison where he sat and sang, right? Because he sang hymns, if you follow that story. And it was pretty dark and dingy. And I wonder if he was remembering back to the time he sat blind, waiting for God to open his eyes. Past testimony gives strength for the current reset. He's done it before. He can do it again. Don't give up. Give up to him. Amen? That question is, where are you unable to see what's next? What feels like you just want to give up? What area are you like, I just want to give up? God is inviting you today to not give up, but to give up to him. It's a 3-day wait, but don't give up. He's restoring vision. That looks different for all of us, but I want to speak faith and courage to you. Amen? My last point is the friend. This is Acts 9:10. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. Ananias, yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Why is Straight Street in the Bible? I just thought that was so odd. Like this must have been a really important road in the Bible. And ask for a man named Tarsus, named Saul, for he is praying. Isn't that awesome? He wasn't giving up. He was praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done for your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles. And then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, I love that. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. I love that, because why did Saul have to wait for Ananias? Clearly, God didn't need Ananias. But God loves to partner with us to see vision happen on earth. There is vision waiting to happen in your life and in our community and in our region. And it's waiting on some of our yeses to be an Ananias, right? Who are you an Ananias to? Acts 9:26, this is the last scripture here as we close. When Saul came to Jerusalem, it all worked out, did it? Not exactly. He tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. How many know they needed a little reset, right? I don't know how you're with Jesus physically for years and you still are not quite catching it. Gives us all hope, right? Don't judge each other. Not believing that he really was a disciple, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Everyone say, but Barnabas. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord and saw, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So I just stand on your feet. Saul's new vision for life required an Ananias and a Barnabas to walk it out. I love this. Ananias means God is gracious, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. How many know you need the grace of God to walk out the God-given vision for this fall in your life? And you need encouragement, right? The Holy Spirit is our encourager. But I want to really encourage you and challenge you. Who can you be an Ananias and a Barnabas to? Vision unfolds when we walk in community and in relationship as well. And this fall in October, we're going to be launching some Thrive groups, which are just a really great practical way to get around some Ananiases and some Barnabases, right? But the question is, who can you share God's grace with, and who can you encourage in their God-given vision? It's so easy when we experience, or when we experience someone else who's lost vision, to judge or to just offer to pray, but to not really actually be like, God, what does your grace look like right now for them or for me? What is your encouragement? What would that actually look like? And to step up and to give and to receive. Amen? There are generations waiting for the vision of God that is over each one of our lives. Not just one day with, you know, I want to be a firefighter when I grow up or whatever with the little kids in the other room. But there's vision for your marriage or your relationships. There's vision for your parenting. There's vision for your business, for our community. And ultimately, there is vision for how to steward God's presence in your life this fall. And it's not a vision we have to earn for. It's a vision we have access to put on the new self, to put on our glasses, right? So let me just pray for you quickly here. Jesus, we just thank you that you have vision for our relationships and our households this fall. You have vision for our schoolwork and our workplaces. You have vision for our health, for our schedules, for our finances. You have vision for community. But God, even if we were to never get any of that vision, we thank you, you are our vision. We don't turn our eyes on you to receive a promise. We turn our eyes on you because you are the promise. You are enough. If your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. So Jesus, right now, I just ask that the scales would fall off of our eyes in whatever area in our life this morning where we are stuck in the mud and mire. God, any area where it feels so common and so normal, but actually it's not your vision for us. God, we choose to surrender to you. We choose to repent, to turn our eyes on you, Jesus, and put more trust and faith in you than in what any human has done to us or we could ever do. We put on our new self in you, and we thank you for the sacrifice that you made on that cross, so that you could come to proclaim freedom to the captives and restoration to the blind. Show us who we can encourage this week, and we thank you that you encourage us daily because your mercy is new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.